I am Pat, a food addict, compulsive overeater, and bulimic.
Okay.
Hi, everyone, and I'm very happy to be asked to qualify. And how I qualify, for those of you who cannot see my picture, it's going around, I started out in the program at about 220 pounds. I am not 220 pounds now, thank you, God. Just to give you a little idea of how I came into the program, I came in ill. I did not come in healthy, and I don't know if other people come in healthy and a lot of weight. I came in very ill with a lot of weight. And I was bulimic, which really can destroy your health. I thought as a teenager, my first forays into controlling food was as a teenager, as far as the controlling, not the eating. The eating started earlier, but the controlling started about teenage years. And I did not want to be fat. So I thought I had invented something wonderful, bulimia. Now this is, I am 73 years old, by the way. And this was back in the 1950s. When that word wasn't around, I thought I had made an invention, and I found laxatives on my own, hadn't heard that anywhere, and I also tried anorexia a little bit, decided that was not a good idea because nobody was going to be around to get me well. My mother was not a nurse type, so I figured she was not going to be nurturing if I got too ill, so I sort of abandoned that idea early on. I did not grow up in a family that forced food on me, by the way. I grew up in a family that actually did three meals a day. My mother did not bake. She cooked fairly well. My father came home for meals. I came home for noon lunches in those days for up until high school, and food was not forced on me. It was my own idea. I did have a grandmother who was overweight. My mother controlled her food, but she controlled everything else as well, including us. I grew up with as you are in program or as you come into the program, you hear that it's based on fear, doubt, and insecurity. I came in with massive amounts of all of it, and especially fear. Doubts, I could be doubtful even to this day about a lot of things. And insecure, that was probably my middle name. Can still be at times. I'm just grateful to the program that I have ways to cope with any of those three things, fear, doubt, and insecurity. So anyway, the food business, my mother had leftovers in the refrigerator. She had some sweet things stacked on the cellar stairs, but that was it. It was not forced on me at all. But I wanted to be thin. I was very, I wouldn't say I was tightly controlled, but yeah, I couldn't do much. We didn't have a car. We never went on vacation. It was your typical dysfunctional family, and it was really a lot of fear. I was never sure that a family was going to break up or not. It never did. In my mind, I was never sure. And I did have one sister who will figure into the story a little bit, too. I wasn't overweight, obviously, but I was certainly doing strange things with food as a teenager. And I started in grade school, stopping at the corner stores with an eating buddy and picking up desserts along the way to school. And this was at lunchtime, by the way. So anyway, in college, I had a food plan, but I found ways to find desserts all over the place, and I took up another addiction, which was smoking. So obviously, I was looking for answers or ways out of fear, doubt, and insecurity, which I didn't know. Also, anger. And that was building up, which I didn't even realize how much buildup that was. And in my family, there was nobody you could really talk to. I think one of the things of this program that is so excellent to me is having somebody listen, people to talk to. In the neighborhood that I grew up, my sister had friends. I had one person that was my age for 1 year. That was it. And I used to sit home wondering where everybody went at night. My mother would go to her mother's every night. My father coached Little League and all kinds of Little League things, and my sister was out playing, and I sat there wanting them all to be home. I was a couch sitter, a couch potato, way back then, and I did not get over that until I got into OA, because that was, you know, it was a safe place to be, and I sort of thought I was holding the family together for some reason or other. If I was there, they'd all come back. And so that's basically how I grew up, you know, very afraid of the outside world because I didn't know much about it. And got through college, you know, just by studying and doing what I was supposed to do, but I did pick up the smoking. And when they had weekend party at the sorority house, there were always these frosted things around, which I found, and I did the bulimia then, which would easily have been found out by other people. I still had not learned how to terribly much get along with other people or be, I didn't know how to do friendships because it just wasn't something that I grew up doing. My sister was far more outgoing, and I was always rather jealous of her even then, because I was not the most outgoing person at all. And to this day, it's one of the things I work on still, is creating and having friendships with people. I got into the program long after I had been out working. I taught school, and then I finally was not feeling well, and I had a counselor at that point who said, you got to get out of this town. Barrie, Vermont is not a very big place, nor is there much to do. And that's how I got to Massachusetts. And I taught down here, and what did I do but wear out a couch? I sat around every evening. I had people around, but if anyone's teaching, your main contact is with 10, well, for me, it was 10-year-olds. Not with the other teachers as much. You have to work at it, and I did not know how. So I did all right for a while with counselors and so on for a while, but I realize now there was a lot of depression. I kind of knew that, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And I started eating, and I did whatever diet you can think of, and well, however much money it costs, I probably did it. I will not go into how many I tried. I was successful at one when I thought it was God-centered and God-given, but then I found out that, fluorine owned it, and then kind of went out by the boards. And when they brought in desserts, I was gone. So I picked up the bulimia again, off and on, during the years. I was getting heavier and heavier, but the bulimia was causing all kinds of problems physically, and I was getting weaker and weaker, and I got colds that I couldn't get rid of. And finally, there was a couple that moved in upstairs after it had been very quiet with an 80-year-old, and they started living and making noise. Well, that, of course, disturbed me because, you know, one of the things is I'm very self-centered. I didn't know how other people lived. So I started banging on the walls every time they made noise. Well, guess what? They asked me to move to another apartment. It was so humiliating. By that time, I was not at all well. And that's how I got to move to, bought a house. So I was one of the first single women around that I knew that bought a house. And it was just wonderful. I moved to Westford, Mass. And that's where I count the beginning of my recovery. Because it was like God gave me, it was like he took me, but it was such a humiliating thing, but it turned out to be the best thing. If you ever think something's really bad, I'm telling you, it can turn out to be the best thing that ever happened to you. It almost like God took me by the hair of the head and said, here is a place, Oasis, is a place to get well. And I felt like, geez, I owned a little bit of ground. I actually belong somewhere. And I didn't actually ever feel like I belonged to my family terribly much. So it was wonderful, and I started going to prayer meetings because I wanted to get physically well. By that time, my health was really bad. And I went to prayer meetings for quite a while, and what I prayed for was my health and to be able to do something about my eating and the bulimia. I think everybody else may have been praying for world peace or something, but I wasn't there. I had to have a major operation at that time, and I could not get well. I went screaming to the priest. And I said, I can't get well. I've been praying, and I'm not getting well. He said, there's a meeting Sunday night, first meeting of OA at that parish on a Sunday night. And he advised me to go there. And that was the beginning of everything for me. There were the 12 steps were on the wall in front of me, and I said, oh, I like them. Now, I'm not one of those people that came in and said I didn't like them. I thought they were excellent, but I didn't know how I was going to get there, how to do them. And I know there was a person from AA there helping out because it was the first meeting. And what I heard was, I thought was so miraculous. Like, there was a dignity of choice. Now it's called... I forget. What's the pamphlet for food plans? Not dignity of choice. Is it still dignity? Well, anyway, there was another, an earlier version of that. And I thought that was so wonderful. And I know a lot of people come in and they you know, don't like the food plan. Because I didn't have a clue. I didn't know. Now, I grew up in a family that actually ate well, but still did not have a clue personally. Also, I have to tell you, I don't like to deal with food. I love to eat it. But I didn't like to deal with it. I thought as a single person, I was not entitled to three meals a day. Single people didn't eat meals. They catch as catch can because there wasn't a family. Salads were for families. They weren't for single people. I mean, you know, a lot of ideas like that, whatever. So anyway, I came in with this really strange ideas about food. Plus, I don't like to cook. I used to listen to teachers in the teachers' room swapping recipes and say, how do they ever care about a quarter of this or a pinch of that or whatever? It was like, please leave the math out. You know, I just didn't want to deal with food. And I remember thinking, looking at the librarian who brought the same little salad with something protein every day in her orange, saying, now how can she do that every single day? It totally baffled me that anybody could consistently bring the same thing every day. I relied on the cafeteria and the kids' food or whatever. I thought the school owed me a meal, I guess, or they did feed us in the beginning. You paid for it, but they did feed you. I thought it was the government's job to get me well. I could have been anybody else's job, but not mine. I just did not comprehend that. But anyway, there was this dignity of choice that had a food plan. Now, mind you, I also did not like to eat anything green. So you can imagine, there were no vegetables in my, you know, my idea of food plans was quick, easy, white, and simple. And I saw this food plan that was no flour, no sugar. Now, I know a lot of people rebel at me. I went, oh, my God, that's exactly what I need. That's all I was really eating. And I knew... Being sick as I was, I knew that my body did not have the strength to deal with any kind of infections or anything. I adopted that food plan. I got a sponsor. She said, I'll sponsor you for 2 weeks, and then you'll have to find something. I said, fine. And I haven't varied from it since. Why? Because I was too sick to do anything else. And there have been times when I have pushed the limits, I'll tell you, and not wanted to, but I'm telling you, I lost the weight within a year, about 100 pounds. Now it's about 90. And I wanted to be right-sized. Oh, I just wanted to be right-sized for me. I didn't want to be too big. I didn't want to be too small. I wanted to be right-sized in all ways. And I wanted, above all, to be healthy. And that's what the program has given me. It said three weighed and measured meals. I went, oh, my goodness. I mean, I didn't have any idea. I could go in a grocery store to this day and go down an aisle, which I don't usually go down, and look at all the displays of about 50 varieties of one thing and go, oh, my God. I didn't know how to shop. My mother used to want me to take her food shopping, and I hated it. I hated hanging around waiting for her to do the shopping. And here it was like, oh, my gosh, now I got to do my own shopping. And I had to chop and grind and whatever else and weigh and measure. And it was, oh, that was really news to me. Because here I was, well, I think I was 50-something when I came in and had not really made a meal of my own. For a decent meal that most people would consider, you know, even your three weighted and measured. And I heard you don't have to eat no matter what. You don't eat. You know, that was the greatest thing. You don't eat no matter what. No matter what, you don't eat. And I thought, oh, wow, philosophy of life. My philosophy was far different. It was like, you know, if something went wrong, in went the food. And it was like, gee, that didn't solve anything, did it? Got me sick, got me to doctors. I've survived two aneurysms that would never have been found had I been overweight. Never, ever. I mean, those things, you can go in an instant. I would not be here. So, you know, do I owe my life to this program? You bet. And a doctor who, of course, listened to the heart and said, something's wrong here. I have gotten consistently well, I think, for 2 years. I was in teaching, and I would come out, and on the bumper sticker on my car said, lean and serene. And I would come out. They don't have bumper stickers like that anymore, but they did then. I'd go out, and I'd almost be in tears. I was lean, but I was not serene. It took me a long time to get some serenity under my belt. I was still yelling at kids. I did a lot of things in the disease that were not too wonderful. Abusing my own body with food and being angry and not even going home for holidays and all this kind of thing. It took me about 10 AWOLs to dig through a mountain of jealousy of my sister. I came in with a lot of stuff and a lot of anger. I did a lot of AWOLs, which are a way of life, a study of the 12 steps, and doing them, not just studying them, doing them. And I'm still working on the 12 steps. I will probably always work on the 12 steps because they will help get me well. I do use all of the 8 tools because they work if I work them. And they get me in contact with people. And they keep me on the path where, you know, my mind still wants to veer off like, oh, they don't like me, or whatever the case may be. That whiny stuff, that self-pity stuff, that, you know, poor me, poor me, poor me, whatever. You know, no, don't poor me anything. You know, I don't need to be there. And if I am there, I just have to start writing, talking, getting down on my knees, taking my quiet time first thing in the morning, ask God for help. To have a day, abstinent day, but also a calm, peaceful day, and whatever else I need to ask for. And the other thing they said was, thank God. See, I thought God would just automatically take care of you. He was on automatic for me. He would just come down, and he would just help you. Now, that's kind of true in some ways. He did help me when I didn't ask because I didn't know enough to ask. But now that I know enough to ask, I know that if I ask, I'm going to get an answer. It's yes, no, or maybe later. But it's going to be an answer, and it's always the right one. I may not always think it is, but it is always the right one. And if I'm having any problem in program, I say, oh, what do? I hear this megaphone voice, I gave you a program, use it. And I go, oh, my God, that saved me so many times. I gave you a program, use it. God's not going to be there every single time. He did give us brains to use, and he gave me the program. He gave me all those 8 tools, the telephone sponsor, reading, writing, service. I do a lot of service. Being single, it's been great for me to do service in program. I'm doing more service out of program now that I'm retired as well. It's a wonderful, for me, it's been a wonderful thing. I still weigh and measure three meals a day. No flour, no sugar. You know what? I survive no flour, no sugar very, very well. I am much healthier than I ever was. Do they call to me? Not really. If they start calling to me, I know that I'm somewhere in my head that I'm not supposed to be. It's like, those are not solutions. They are not solutions to any problem. I know that. I just need to work the program to find out what the solution is. Oftentimes now it is writing. Writing either 4 steps or just writing any incident that is causing any problem. It's talking to people. It's talking to my sponsor. I certainly still have a sponsor. I would never, ever be without a sponsor. Left to my own devices, when I came in, I was too sick to even lift my head off the pillow for 2 years, even in recovery. So for those of you who are just coming in, just keep coming. It really does work. Thank you for listening.